was in eighth grade. We had a field trip, and this field trip was an overnight camping trip. Both guys and girls going to a place where it was just out in the woods in like a park, like state park type area. So we had to do the whole nine yards, making a fire, go get our water out of a stream, use iodine tablets, dig a hole when you had to relieve yourself, the whole thing. Now, I don't know who thinks that's a good idea to do with eighth graders, but we did it. And part of the trip was making sure that this took place during a new moon, because there's no lights anywhere. And part of the trip was in the middle of the night, we had to go do some observations by the lakeside. So we had to hike with no flashlights to the edge of the lake and do our observations and then come back. So our teacher was teaching us, how do we know that we're staying on the path? So we're all doing kind of this little shuffle, trying to make sure, okay, I feel the edge of kind of where the normal path is. Now we make it there because he's leading us. And we do our observations by the lakeside, and he's like, all right, now we're going back to the campsite. Me and a couple of friends think we're going to beat everyone back because we get to be the first ones to play with the fire. And that's, as middle school boys, that's something you enjoy doing. And so there's about five or six of us, boys and girls, going there, and we're like, we're going to beat everyone. So we start taking off, and everyone, like, in a line, doing our little shuffle, because you can't see your hand in front of your face. It's so dark. So we're going and we're rotating who's leading just so we can help each other. And all of a sudden we get to one point where the leader says, I don't think I feel the path. And so we're kind of all walking around and we're like, yeah, none of us feel the path. But we said, we think we go that direction. And so we want to beat them. We said, we'll see hopefully some embers of the fire. And so we'll go. So we continue to go that direction, saying we'll hopefully get back on the path. Well, we keep going for a while, and we don't find the path. We don't find the campsite. Again, this is middle of the night, and we're thinking, oh my goodness, the five or six of us are going to have to find some place to sleep outside with nothing else except for the clothes we have on. As eighth graders, you're full of confidence, but deep down inside, you're really getting nervous. Like, what is going on? Now, we just say, we're going to keep going. It's got to be this direction. So we keep going in that direction until we hit a parking lot with the vehicles that brought us to the park. And our campsite was that way. So we had passed it somehow, went all the way around, and so we're getting nervous. It had been a while because, again, you're doing this shuffle, so you're walking and hiking for probably 40 minutes to an hour, having no clue where you are. So we saw, like, the lamps, street lamps or the parking lot lamps in there. That was the only light that we had seen, and we're like, that's where we went in. Let's try to go find our campsite. Now, it took us about 20 to 25 minutes in the light to make our way there. Now we're shuffling about one-third speed. So we continue going that direction then until we heard one of our leaders yelling for us. And we knew this is not a good yell. We are in deep trouble. So thankfully we found them. We even had like our little whistles that you do three blows. We were doing that the whole time. No one's responding to us. So we were lost. There was a nervousness. But eventually we caught up with our group. Now, we had a whole bunch of emotions. From confidence, we're going to get back and get to this campsite and this fire, to nervousness, to not knowing what's going on, and everything in between. The struggle was, we thought we knew the way. We were super confident in going that direction, and we knew we were going to go that way, but without the light, we had no clue where we were. We were lost. Fortunately, we found that parking lot and didn't keep going that direction for another 30 minutes or so. When we think about us in life, often we are the same. We have so much confidence. This is the direction I need to go. This is the path that I need to follow. But often we are going without the light. assuming we know what's best, assuming we know what's coming around the corner, but really having no idea. We need a light to be a direction for us. We need the light. What we're going to see in our passage this morning is Jesus tells us he is the light. This is one of those seven I am statements that we're going to be seeing as we go through the book of John. This I am statement is found in chapter 8, and it's one that many of us have heard before, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Let's see this morning who that light is and why we need him. We're going to be reading from the book of John, verses 12 through 30 now. If you are able, I would encourage you to stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning as we read John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. God's word says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away. And you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. You may be seated. Let's pray that God would guide us through this passage as we study it together this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that our eyes would be opened to seeing the light of the world. God, I pray that our trust would be in following the light of the world. God, I pray that our response would be to reflect that light ourselves to the rest of the world. Open our hearts, open our minds as we study together. Allow us to understand what you want us to know from this passage. Allow us to be challenged today. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we think about the phrase, I am the light of the world. That is something that many of us have heard multiple times. And if we think about a passage that is explaining, and I don't know if your heading is the same as mine, but the heading to this passage for me, it says, I am the light of the world. We would assume there's going to be a lot of explanation. What is that light? Who is that light? What does that light mean? But if you paid close attention, only twice in all of what we read was the word light. Only two times, and it's both in the very first verse that I read, verse 12 of that passage. That's the only time it talks about light. The whole rest of the passage is kind of this argument between the religious leaders and Jesus. Again, they're trying to discredit him, and he is responding to their arguments. This morning, we're going to take some time to look at this first verse of our passage, verse 12, Jesus as the light. Then we're going to look to a brief overview of this back and forth between the Pharisees and Jesus. And we're going to close today remembering why Jesus is able to say, I am the light of the world. Why we are able to receive the light because of communion and what that remembers. Jesus' death on the cross. So let's start with looking at this I am statement. I am the light of the world. The whole question we're going to have today is, will you follow the light? It's the question that we see throughout here, and we see the religious leaders, they're fighting it, not wanting to follow the light. But at the very end, we see this group of people, they choose. Based on this conversation, based on what Jesus says, it says they believed. We're faced with that same question. Will we believe or not? The statement that Jesus makes in verse 12 can be broken up into three different parts. How Jesus is the light of the world, how followers of the light are delivered from darkness, and how followers will receive the light of life. Let's start with a brief look at Jesus is the light. Jesus starts this phrase with an emphatic, I am the light of the world. No one else, nothing else. Now, many believe that this, just like we had a couple passages ago, is directly in response to the Feast of Booths. So they have this feast that they all come to Jerusalem, and there is something, once again, that Jesus is referencing. Part of this feast would have had a lamp lighting ceremony where a candelabra was lit. Candelabra being lit, and just as we looked at kind of this living water coming out of the rock, and Jesus saying, I am that living water, or I have it to give. The same time, this candelabra was lit to remember Jesus and God being the deliverance for the Israelites through the pillar of fire. It's a lot of that imagery that they would have been using again. So they light this candelabra as a remembrance of what took place. And Jesus is coming and saying, I am not just the light for the Jews as you celebrate with this candelabra. I am the light of the world. Just like this light would guide the Israelites at night, saying this is the direction you need to go, Jesus says, I am the light to the whole world, giving direction to where you need to go. He is the light of the world. A light guides by exposing what is around us. We see both the path that we are to go, and we also see the pitfalls, things that we are to avoid so that we are safe. That is what light does. That light would have helped us in eighth grade when we were going on that trail. It would have helped us know the trail continues here. We don't need to be going this way. We don't need to go into this briar patch. We can follow this straight trail if we would have had a light. Light is beneficial for showing us the direction we need to go. A significant reason that this is a big deal, especially in the context of the people here with the religious leaders, is because Jesus is making kind of some claims along with this that he is God, that he is sent by God. And these religious leaders would have picked up on a lot of these things. John writes about the idea of lights. This was significant for him in 1 John also, another book that he wrote. 1 John 1:5 tells us this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John's saying, God is light. In him, there is no darkness. And Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. They would have picked up on this. This theme of light and darkness is very significant for John. We see this connection between God and light goes beyond John. Even looking to the Old Testament, look at what David has to say in Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The same comparison of light and salvation being connected is what David is referencing here. This is what Jesus is telling the people. I am the light of the world. I am what brings you salvation. If you want to receive salvation, it comes through me. Light is significant. Jesus is claiming to be the light that is salvation, not just for David, but available to the whole world. We will see that this light is not applied to everyone, because even in the verse when Jesus speaks, it says, whoever chooses to follow the light. That means whoever makes that choice to follow the light will receive the blessing and benefit of the light. We even see in Isaiah that there's significant prophecy that Jesus is claiming to fulfill when Isaiah says in chapter 42, verses 6 and 7, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Who is that light that has been promised? That light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. His purpose is to open the eyes of the blind. That's us. Blind because of our sin. Jesus came to open our eyes. He came to deliver us from dungeon. We are slaves to sin. He came to say, I want to set you free. He is the light that was promised. What we see, the next part of Jesus' phrase here, the second part of it is, followers of the light are delivered from darkness. Just what we were looking at with that Isaiah passage, very clearly and specifically it says that there. And so Jesus is saying he delivers those from darkness who follow the light. We are all sinners. We all walk in darkness. We all need deliverance. We all need the light. The light coming has given us an option. We either can continue to walk towards the darkness, away from the light, or we can use the light to say, here is the path we should go. I am going to follow where it guides. Follow where it leads. Jesus, as the light, rescues from the darkness of sin, Satan, and the world. Paul uses very similar terminology when he is writing to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. Listen to this. At one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. There is a deliverance from darkness that comes to those who choose to follow the light, that choose to follow Jesus, coming to him saying, I can't go this path of darkness any longer. I need direction. I need to know what path to take. I need Jesus because I can't do it on my own. He delivers from darkness. This deliverance from darkness is being given light. This would have been like a guide with a flashlight. For me in eighth grade, when we were walking on that path, we would have known the path to go, delivered from darkness, delivered from being off that path, delivered from the fear that we're going to have to sleep out here without our tents and our sleeping bags for whatever happens. I didn't like bugs crawling on me. I didn't want that. There are a lot of fear that was associated with being in the darkness. Instead, we see that there is a deliverance from the darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't choose to go towards darkness. Like if I was on that path saying, oh, look what's over there. I want to chase that. I want to go after that. Or maybe there's another path. Maybe that one looks a little bit more exciting than this one with the light. So I still have a choice to not follow the light, but there is a deliverance because I no longer have to be in darkness. This is what Paul is saying in that Ephesians passage. You are now in the light. So walk as children of light. Live like it. Live like the light has come and rescued you. Don't choose to go back to that darkness that you've been delivered from. Live like children of light. We now have an understanding of right and wrong, and we can choose. We no longer are forced to be in darkness at all time. This brings us to the third part of Jesus' statement. Followers of the light have life. Following Jesus brings about spiritual life. Once again, we see this connection to John chapter 20, where he said, this is the purpose of the book. I record all these signs so that you may know Jesus as the Christ, so that you may know Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life. Followers of the light are given life. We see that Jesus is the light. We see that the world draws its light from Jesus, and whoever follows him receives that light. Followers of Jesus, after having received the light of the world, are in turn to reflect that light to others. We have received it not just so we can coop it up and say, I have it, I bottle it up. Instead, we are to be that reflection of that light. As Jesus shines that bright light, we're supposed to shine it for others. Philippians 2 verses 14 through 16 says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ you may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Children of God are to be lights to the world. We are to reflect his light. There is no light that is inherent with us, but he gives it to us so that we can shine for him. If we are followers of Jesus who have received the light of life, it should be evidenced in the way that we are light to others. 1 Thessalonians 5, when talking about the coming day of judgment, says this about what it means to reflect the light that we've received in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 11. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We are not to be complacent as ones who are children of the light. Ones who live in the day as things have been exposed, knowing the truth, knowing the direction that we are to go because it has been revealed to us in this book. We are not to be complacent, but rather we are to be encouraging others. The light is not our arrival. We do not sit and say, "Great, I have received the light. I am good to go. I'm going to pop out my lawn chair and sit here and just bask in the light because now I have it." Rather, the light is a new beginning to a new journey. Knowing what direction we are to go, knowing we are to be lights to others, there is a new mission that we have from the light of the world. Not only are we to encourage others as we go through that, as we are shining as lights, but we are to shine as lights to the world, just as Jesus did. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Our light, as a reflection of the light of the world, is to be seen by the world, not so that they look at us, not so that their attention is drawn to us as an individual, not so that their attention is drawn to us as a local body, but hopefully as they see our light, they look to God. They give glory to him. They see what we are here for and about to give him glory and to lift his name. You guys ready to move on to the second verse of our passage? We are going to move on, but we're not going to look as in-depth as we did that first verse. There is no equip you afterwards, so I don't really have an end time, so I can extend things a little bit, right? But some of you may have some things in the oven or things that you're planning on. But we are going to look at the rest of our passage, more of an overview. And an overview looking at the religious leaders and their challenge to Jesus. Now, what's interesting is they don't challenge him as the light. They don't bring that challenge saying, "You're not the light. How can you say that?" They step back a little bit and they're frustrated, or they bring a challenge saying, "You can't claim to be anything." They don't worry about the light. He said all of that, but they say, your claim to be anything is wrong and invalid. So they bring a challenge in three different areas, and we're going to look at those three brief areas in an overview right now. The first of those is a challenge to authority, a challenge to his authority. This challenge comes in verses 13 through 18. Now, it's not the first time that we've seen the religious leaders, even in the book of John, come to Jesus and claim that his testimony is false. Now, they're not saying it's a lie, but they're saying it's invalid, or it wouldn't hold up in the court of law because he's only testifying that about himself. And they're saying you have to have other witnesses for that to be valid. Again, we don't see them challenging his claim to be light. We see them challenging his claim to be anything. They're saying, you have no validity. There is no one else that is substantiating your claims that you are whatever you say you are. You can't just claim to be anything without proof or evidence or a witness of someone else that can validate this. They call him out on claiming to be something without a witness, and Jesus responds to a challenge with two main ideas. The first is, my testimony alone is valid. We're going to see through the rest of the passage, Jesus makes a great distinction and he makes a great divide between himself and everybody else. He knows, I am God. I am on mission from the Father. I am different than anybody else. The rules that you apply to everybody else do not hold water when it comes to Jesus. That's his first defense. I am different than who you are. I know I am the Son of God. I am on mission from the Father. He gives me credibility because I am who I am. That's significant. He makes it clear, I am different than you. The presuppositions that you bring to the table do not apply. So the second response that Jesus has, and even though it's not necessary, he obliges to their kind of demands for a witness. He says, I'm not the only witness. I am witness about myself and I am true, but I'm not the only witness. Then he calls on his Father. He says, my Father also is a witness. They can either choose to believe or deny that this witness is valid. But he is giving them a second witness, saying, your law demands this. I will fulfill your law also, even though it's not necessary for me. This brings them to the second challenge. As he brings up the Father, they're like, oh, you brought something else to mind, something else that we want to challenge you with. And this challenge is a challenge to his origin, a challenge to origin. And they're saying, Jesus, you bring up your Father. Where is he? Where is he? You claim these things. Where is he? We would like to speak to him, especially if he is the second witness. They want to know who he is. There is a challenge knowing who he has said his Father is. Jesus responds to this challenge by saying, you don't know my Father. You don't know my Father because you don't even know me. There is a divide. There is a difference. Continues by saying he's going to soon go away to his Father and they will die in their sin. Where Jesus is going to the Father, they cannot go. Just like the first challenge, he again opens this divide, saying, I am from above, you are from below. He brings this through the whole passage, showing there is a distinct difference between Jesus and everybody else. There's a challenge to his origin. He claims, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not from this world. It is the difference that precisely creates the need for the light of the world, because everybody else is different. Everybody else is a sinner. Everybody else is flawed. Jesus is not. Everybody else needs Jesus. That difference For them, it was a rub or something that they butted heads. In reality, it showed the need for Jesus. That difference was necessary. That was the reason Jesus could be the light of the world, because he was not a sinner like man. That brings us to our third challenge, a challenge to his person. Jesus just claimed to be the only person who can give life to sinners. This again raises massive red flags for the religious leaders and leads them to their final challenge, a challenge to his person. They are wanting him to be very blatant on his claim to be God, so that they ask him this question: who are you? Who are you? They're wanting him to say, I am God, so they can say, blasphemy. This gives them reason to kill Jesus if he answers blatantly. So there's a challenge to his person that he is God. They ask the question, who are you? Jesus again gives them a response. He's giving them a response to each one of these challenges. He tells them, I've been telling you all along from the beginning who I am. You just haven't gotten it. I am sent from the Father on mission from the Father to declare to man what they need to know about themselves. He says, I come to say a lot about you, telling you who you are, what you need, that there are sinners in need of a Savior. John tells us that they just don't understand. They don't get it. They're so caught up in unbelief. They don't want to believe, that they just don't get who he is. Continually asking. Jesus then says, one day you will know when you lift up the Son of Man. Referencing his going to the cross, what we are going to remember in just a few short minutes. When you lift up the Son of Man, when you crucify the Son of Man, then you will know who I am, that I am from the Father. They will know the truth, but they still may not accept and follow the truth. The passage ends with a response of some of the people listening in. They've heard Jesus give this claim, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. They've heard the challenge of these religious leaders in these different areas. They've heard Jesus give a response in every one of the areas, and their response is, some believed. Some believed. That's the whole point that John desires. He's saying, I want people to believe. I'm going to show you different instances where people believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and I want you to know and understand and believe also, so that you can have life. This is just an example that we have before us. I want to invite those who will be serving communion for us and leading us in our song to come prepare for that. But as they come, I want to go back to where we started. The words of Jesus. Going back to what he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus offers to us today to be the light, to give us life. That wasn't just an offer that they received during the time of John and Jesus, but that offer is given to us today. Today, we looked at Jesus as the light of the world. With that, we saw a challenge. We have to follow the light. That's a choice. Whoever chooses to follow the light will have the light of life. So my challenge to you is make it your aim to walk in the light, to be a reflection of his light to others, to whoever God puts in your path. Go in peace. You are dismissed.